Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan. Happy Friday. Happy end of the Leafs losing streak. Three games long. Felt like an eternity here in Toronto. Let's bring in our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com. Luke Fox, NHL writer at Sportsnet. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning.
Are we watching the best player in the world, besides our 9 o'clock guest, who's Marie-Philippe Poulin? Besides her, are we watching the best hockey player
the best
in the world?
Male player?
Yes, let's
male
do that.
Player, yeah. I do think a game like last night's doesn't make the heart conversation ridiculous at all. I don't think it's a stretch to say that the Minnesota Wild could have won that game 1-0 if Austin Matthews wasn't dressed. That first goal that he scored where he whipped it through Dmitry Kulikov's legs and then passed the Minnesota goalie was just phenomenal. Sheldon Keefe said afterward there's, maybe a handful of players in the world that can make that shot. And the second one I thought was even more impressive just because of the effort that he hounded on the back check, stole the puck, worked a perfect give and go with Marner. Nice pass by Marner, of course, but that's all Austin driving that. And it was this type of really sleepy game. Both teams were scared of the other team's offense, so they were playing very patient and cautious. And in those types of games, you need a game breaker. And Leaf fans should enjoy the fact that they have one in Austin. And his defensive game has just improved so much. He had 6 takeaways in that game. He was on a mission to lead by example and say, hey, forwards, we can help out our defense if you play like me. And then, of course, he has the offensive flair. He's been phenomenal.
So I agree. I don't see players in the NHL right now playing better than Austin Matthews. I think that this is just about as good as you can play the game. And if you're going to make the case, it does revolve around that game because he did the two things that he is doing better than anybody else. And that's create offense for himself and take the puck away from other players. There's a bully element to Austin Matthews this year. He's always been good at taking the puck away from other players. It's always been a strong suit of his game, but it has gone to a complete other level this year. There's also better conditioning where he's able to kind of last throughout the game. It is absolutely not a ridiculous one. And I know that sometimes this market seems so extreme because it's always living in the highs and lows. And when they're down bad, it's horrific. And when they're up, they're going to win the Stanley Cup, blah, 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 blah. But no, I really think that Matthews is absolutely right there in the heart conversation. And if he keeps this up for the last couple of months of the season, I think he's going to end up winning this thing. I just realized, though, that you don't have a heart vote. How is that possible? How do you not have NHL award voting?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. The only time I didn't was last year because they chopped the voting pool down to 100. And because the voting pool is so East heavy that a lot of people, especially in Toronto, lost their vote for 1 year. They were worried that because there's so many Canadian writers and so many Eastern writers, it might sway it. So they made the decision to chop the voting pool last year because of those wacky divisions. I didn't like that. I tend to think that, the writers should be well informed enough that they can vote across the board. And I thought if you cast a wider net, you might get, more fair results. But, I'm happy to be back. Put it that way.
Yes. Okay. So one, I'm always talking to you, Luke. That's why you're on. I'm talking to you. I don't want to know.
I was just surprised because you said I didn't have a vote. I thought you knew something. I didn't.
Yeah. Pardon me. No, just we looked up the votes from last year and you weren't on the list, but yes, of course that makes sense. But now that makes sense given the context, but yes. I do wonder a little bit though, Is it difficult at all? Because, yeah, you're a Toronto guy. You work in Toronto. You know, you obviously deal with writers from all around the country. You're also the NHL editor for us, right? Like, for a major publication. I'm not trying to, you know, put you on the spot here and make this too much of a pressure about, like, this interview about Luke Fox. But do you find that it is harder for you guys sometimes, given that you are here and that everyone kind of says, oh, if you think Matthews is doing something special, you say, like, he's in the heart conversation, that the rest of the hockey world has the kind of, oh, well, you just say that because you're in Toronto mentality.
Yeah, I'm conscious of it. And I think that sometimes Toronto writers can kind of go the other way and try and downplay some of the Leafs' accomplishments because of that, because you're conscious of that. You're thinking, well, I don't want to pump up the Leafs player or the Leafs coach too much because then we look biased because that's where we live. So yeah, I think there's an element of it, but I don't know. When it comes time to voting, I take it very seriously, probably more seriously than I do with politics, which is probably not a good thing, but I really dive in and try to make my votes as unbiased as possible. But, you know, we're witnessing something special here. Like, I do believe that when all is said and done, this is going to be the greatest Maple Leaf of all time, and I don't think that's hyperbole.
Luke, so when we talk about his all-around game, and there's obviously the face-off element, there's the takeaways element, there's the possession stats element, there are all these factors. And we mentioned earlier on in the show, JD was laying out that, hey, It's not as if people don't realize Matthews is good defensively. He's had some down-ballot Selke votes. Do you think that he is fully appreciated defensively? And short of starting to use him on the PK a little bit more, and he's already averaging 21 minutes a game, so I don't even know how possible that is, how does that become a bigger part of his story? Because I think we appreciate it here. I don't know if people realize that the league's best goal scorer is also a really strong defensive centerman.
Yeah, and Sheldon Keefe was talking about that last night, kind of he doesn't get enough credit or respect for how good he is defensively. And in that area, it seems every single year he's gotten better. When he first came in the league, he's a big guy, and I don't think he was using his frame as much. Now he does. He's got this incredible stick where he's able to stick lift guys and really sneakily steal pucks. But he's using his body more. He's not throwing the biggest checks or anything, but he does throw the occasional hit. Now, before, like, first couple of years, he barely would touch anyone. But he also just, the way he uses his body to position guys and angle guys off is better. And he's also gotten really better at faceoffs. He's improved vastly in that area. So he takes more defensive zone draws than he did in his first couple of years. So every year seems a step. As far as Selke voting, it is hard. It's really hard for a guy who doesn't kill penalties to get Selke votes. So that might be a knock against him. And it's not that he couldn't kill penalties. I think the coaching staff just realizes, hey, we have other people to do that. We want to keep him fresh because he's our number one option on the power play. And we want him playing 5-on-5 so much because he does have that 200-foot game. So they've thought about it, but they haven't really dove into giving him penalty kill minutes. But in a world where he was getting penalty kill minutes, I wouldn't be surprised if he could work his way into that conversation as well.
So Auston Matthews is clearly the hot topic last night, but I think the secondary storyline was Mrazek. You know, he didn't have an all-star performance last night, but he had what was needed, a good, solid game for the Toronto Maple Leafs in net, which is something they haven't had in a while. So I want to know what you make of this goalie tandem down the road if you continue to ride Mrazek because he has done something that Jack hasn't done as of late. And does this help give a little bit of a competitive battle between the two goalies that might elevate both of their plays?
Yeah, Ailish, I mean, that's what we wanted. And that's what I thought we were going to get when they signed Mrazek. It was kind of like, okay, we got a 1A, 1B situation. Let's have some internal competition here. Let them battle it out. Who wants the crease? Like, one of you step up and take it. And then Mrazek went down and Jack played phenomenal through December. And then since Christmas break, and they both went through COVID quarantine and the schedule got all wonky. Neither one seemed to want to snatch that net and run with it. And it seemed like it was, they were alternating starts, or maybe one would get a couple in a row and then they'd flip. And, you know, Jack had that great game against Pittsburgh, but then he fell back and looked human again. And it was kind of like, okay, who's gonna take this net? And I honestly thought Keith would go back to Campbell because he's been his guy for this game following the Columbus loss. So I was mildly surprised that he went with Mrazek. And now I'm really curious to see who gets a start in Detroit. If I'm the coach, I go back to Mrazek. I think you're at the point now where you want results. You want to stoke that internal competition, like you're saying, and saying, getting more of a win and you're in type of attitude between these guys. And they're good friends, and their girlfriends hang out with each other. Like, they're buddies. Like, it's a friendly competition, but let's get some competition going. Like, it's time to perform.
Yeah.
I was going to just ask if you think Mrazek has what it takes to be a playoff caliber goaltender, if that happens to be what we see. You know, Jack obviously isn't as proven. He hasn't had a full season under his belt, and he had some good opportunities down the stretch last year. But does Mrazek have that in him? Have we seen it before? And is it something that the Leafs could count on come playoff time?
Well, count on, I don't know, but we have seen it before. He's a streaky goalie. He's up and down, and he's also injury prone. But if he gets on a hot streak, I could see it. And I think it's just, let's play this out, see which goalie of the two is most locked in come May, and start with that guy, but have a relatively short leash. I mean, I think both these guys have proven that they can get locked in and on a good run at various stretches in their career, but they've also proven that they can have dips. And I think, you know, there's very few teams, if you kind of look around the league, that have that true number one that you think can go all the way. I mean, outside of Andrei Vasilevsky, who do you trust? Do you trust Sergei Bobrovsky if you're the Florida Panthers and you're contending? Do you trust Freddie Anderson if you're the Hurricanes? You know, I just think you have to play this out and see who's hot, and don't be afraid to make a switch if you sense that the guy is faltering. In terms of their style of play, I like Jack's style a little bit better. You know, I was watching Mrazek last night, and there's times, I think maybe because he's a bit of a smaller guy too, he like seems to be overplaying some of his pushes across the crease. Like he's swimming a little bit. Where if a pass goes back the other way, the guy would have a complete empty net because he seems to really like throw his body into it. And that, as a result, sometimes he makes those spectacular like highlight reel saves because maybe he's a step out of position, then he's sprawling back and he makes it. But if he doesn't, then he looks out of position.
Yeah, no, when you say that, the Cole Caulfield goal from the other night just sticks out immediately. You go, this dude, man, you're just kind of flying around. And it feels like, I joked actually after that game that when I was growing up and as a young goalie, I loved watching the Rock'em Sock'em tapes for the goaltending highlight reel saves. And sometimes you would do that, especially like in practice or whatever, you'd be trying to replicate one of those saves and you'd get absolutely embarrassed. And it's like, sometimes I feel like he's doing the exact same thing. He's out there trying to be a kid, trying to make the highlight reel save instead of just making the normal one. I agree. I think Jack has the higher ceiling. I think that he's the playoff goalie, but you're right. There's no other option right now. You've had the worst goaltending 5-on-5 in the NHL last month. It's time to just ride the hot hand and see if you can spark a fire because, hey, guess what? It doesn't matter who you play. If they're playing this way, you're dead. So just try something new. Nobody deserves anything right now. So Bunting gets slapped with the fine. To me, this seems like, well, good luck ever being a league leader in drawn penalties again. I've been talking about this for a while. A lot of people have been talking about this for a while. Listen, Bunting can be two things at once. He can be a very popular Leaf. He can be a guy who likes to mix it up in front of the net. He can be somebody who is a good agitator, a good player, all those things. But there has just been no doubt for a while now that he is a diver. Now that's kind of put down as a rubber stamped you're a diver. How do you think this is going to impact just sort of his game overall? Because I always worry that this is kind of the Nazem Kadri effect. Once you get hit with this label, it becomes excruciatingly hard to get penalties. And when it's such a big part of your game, what does that mean for you?
Yeah, well, you know what? He drew another one last thing. So I don't think it's impossible, but it is something that he needs to smarten up a little bit about in terms of the over embellishment. And you know, I don't like when he's like looking at the refs after or kind of like begging for one. So I love his game. Like, same. Let's be honest, not enough Leafs drive to the paint and get in guys' faces and chirp and are yappy and are kind of drag other people into the fight. Like, I think he's the perfect complement for that line right now, because, you know, Marner and Matthews don't do that type of stuff. But to have a guy who's willing to do that, and then you factor in his bargain contract, he's a nice role player, a nice complement for that top line. But I agree, he needs to curb it a little bit. But, you know, you mentioned Kadri. I think he's top five, maybe top 10 in drawn penalties this year. So I don't think it means all of a sudden the refs are automatically going to tuck the whistles, but we're getting into the stretch, we're getting into the playoffs. It's going to be harder for him to get those calls. So if I were him, I wouldn't want to be too focused on drawing those penalties. I mean, just do it the natural way, but don't start begging for them.
Luke, great stuff as always. We're thrilled that you have your voting back.
Not as thrilled as I am.
And I'm sorry for scaring you and thinking that it was yet again Rulo.
Breaking news, JD knows.
JD's apologizing, but that was my note. I was looking at it earlier, and I was like, man, because I knew they had shrunk it, but yes, so that's my bad. Sorry, Luke.
Oh, so Blake knew he shrunk it. They shrunk it. He just thought, hey, they shrunk it with good reason, and Luke should definitely not be one of the guys that gets it back.
Well, so, I didn't know it was a temporary shrink, because the NBA does the same thing. The NBA is 100 voters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And
that's it?
And it's set. Yeah, so I've never had a vote, even though I'm the best NBA person. So, I thought it was a temporary, or I thought it was a permanent, like the NHL had decided to shrink the voting pool. I didn't realize it was 1 year only. So my apologies.
No worries. All right. Have a good one, guys.
See you, pal. This Insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. A really interesting note by you, Blake, about drawn penalties this season, right? Because it's been well documented that Bunting has been leading the league in penalties drawn. I actually think that McDavid got the opposite thing, where the refs got embarrassed because he was so far down to start the first month of the year that now he's skyrocketed up. He's leading the league in penalties drawn, 35. I was actually going to do a take it or leave it on McDavid and how it's the most embarrassing thing for the NHL that they don't give him penalties drawn. And then literally that day they called, I think, two, and I went, maybe I should hold off on this take. And then it went just like every single game, McDavid gets two a game now. He's at 35, Bunting's at 32. But the fifth guy on this list is fascinating and important if you are a Leaf fan.
Nazem Kadri. So, yeah, it's McDavid, Bunting, Dubois, Stutzel, and Kadri are the top five. And then you can chop that up like, hey, if we want to say, or we want to look at, maybe Bunting got a rep early in the year and that's dried up. He's still tied for second since January 1st. He's still drawn seven in his last 10 games, which is tied for third over that stretch. So Bunting's not seeing it dry up. You can, again, look at Kadri and, hey, you can get a reputation as an agitator and a guy who looks for this stuff. But the opponent is still doing it to you, and the referee is still like, look, maybe on a 50-50, you don't get the benefit of the doubt, but some of these aren't going to be 50-50. Sometimes guys are going to want to take a little shot at you or give a little extra pepper on it.
What That's Blake the is little saying, snake kids. In you.
Yeah,
right? I was
going to say. Blake, Blake the snake. Yeah.
No, I meant the snake in Bunting. Like, he knows how to get in your head and create chaos. But yes, there might be a limit to that is what we're saying.
And I get what the concern is, right? Like, I think of in basketball, a guy like Patrick Beverley, who early in his career, he's this kind of an unknown guy. He's this real defensive agitator, and he's really, really good at getting under guys' skins, drawing technical fouls, drawing flagrant fouls, just getting guys off their game. And then at a certain point, there's like the famous Russell Westbrook quote of like, he's got y'all fooled. Like, he's just doing a lot of stuff. It's not actually doing anything. And then, yeah, you kind of hit a tipping point where it's like, okay, well, this guy's like not really worth the energy. Mm-hmm. He's not really worth the attention. And then that kind of dries up. But Patrick Beverley's not playing with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, where you don't really have a choice but to give him the attention being on mm-hmm. that line requires. And the fact that he's, you know, scoring at the level he is this
right.
year, maybe it dries up in the playoffs. Like, I mean, league wide, it just kind of tends to, but right now it's not slowing down. 7 in his last 10.
So what Blake is saying, kids, is diving works. Make sure you yep. go out there and you dive like little soccer players, because
be a little snake.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Swimming lessons.
So, you know what's more fun than playing at 5-on-5, kids? Yeah. Playing on the power
Being
play.
Being on the power play. Go get
them. Diving.
I got to be honest. I think two things can be true. I really like what Luke said about bunting. He goes to the dirty areas. He's an agitator. He drives people nuts. He's not afraid to wear a cross check. I think that he's an important element that fits extremely well with the top line. I wish he wouldn't dive so much. I find it kind of cringy sometimes watching moments of his game, and I thought you can still draw penalties without diving. And I get it. He's an undersized guy. He's had to work every advantage possible to make the NHL. Sometimes it's a bit too much. And when Luke talked about those things where he's looking back at the official and he's doing that, like, those
yeah,
are moments
like
where you're thinking about watching it with a fan of another game and you go, or another Oof. Team, and you go, I have nothing to say on the matter. I have no further questions at this time. You know, it's yeah. one of those.
Also, he's got to be aware that, hey, man, you're not making the most money. You signed this 2-year deal at, mm-hmm. you know, below probably what you're worth. And it's
$2,000 fine. That goes
yeah.
a long way.
And they start picking up. They start picking up from here, though. Is if
I
you get fined,
wish.
You get
like
fined
five.
More. It ratchets up. So you got to be careful because your next one is the first one's a
gotta
warning. Then it's $2,000. Then it's $3,000. And it's $4,000. And at the if he were to keep going on this way, Sheldon Keefe gets fined at a certain point
Ooh,
too. Is how the NHL's fine
the
structure
line.
Works. then you're in trouble. Then you're messing up Keefe's money.
I understand that the NHL's priorities are not this, and when you're negotiating a CBA or making these rules, fines, you're not going to go to the wall over what you have to fine a player for diving. But I actually wish that it was more than $2,000, because yeah. as Canada's number one soccer fan, the thing that prevented me from being Canada's number one soccer fan for a while was just how when you'd watch out-of-market soccer, not our team, but other teams, they would dive a lot, and I would have a tough time watching a sport where there was diving. I just think that it's very not North American to dive. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if that sounds like it's, I don't know.
It does sound like that, but
it's
going.
True. But it is. It's not a North American thing, all right? This is the continent of football and hockey, and it's just not a diving continent, all right? And so it's not a xenophobic thing. It's just a fact. This is not a country or a continent that is a big fan of diving. It's just not a part of the sports culture in the same way. We're a get up and rub dirt on it country. Like, that's who we are as sports fans.
Yeah,
so
sprint,
when
down,
I see divers,
sprint down to first base after you get hit by a pitch.
Yep. And so when I see someone dive, turns me off. All right? So it is what it is. Let's take a break. Let's make some money. It's the wake and rake.
You guys could make some money. I'm not doing any money making.
Yeah, I know.
Blade,
we gotta get you right. I think Blake's going first today. I think we gotta shake it up. I think mm-hmm. we gotta shake up the vibes again. Mm-hmm. We gotta put it in the paint can. We gotta let Blake go first. Let's take mm-hmm. a break. Let's make some money. Let's wake and rake. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cut it, Vic. This is
woohoo!
No, I'm doing the wrestler thing where I come and cut my music, cut my music. It's the Fan Morning Show. Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar on the aux cord. I don't mind the Who Let the Dogs Out play, but...
Who Let the Dogs, the underdogs.
Yeah, it's always a money song at the...
It has to do with it. You know what? It's as close as I could get with my theme, so...
It's okay. It's that's a good
Lots
song.
Lots of underdogs won last night. It's a, money. Look,
if any song fits your earworm, annoying to get stuck in your head song, that one hits. Not annoying is our next guest from Cool Bet. Filling in for Cool Bet Chris today because Cool Bet Chris is back in Vegas. Does the guy live there? Does he have a residency?
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Pat Gregoire. Yeah. Pat, what's up, man? What's the deal here? Is Chris just like... part-time work from Vegas now?
It's ridiculous. Someone's got to keep the lights on here, and unfortunately it's me. He gets to go down and enjoy Vegas, and I think he's seeing Metallica this weekend, going to the Avs game. Like, I know, yeah, right, but yeah. You know what, I'm here to give picks. He's very good at going to Vegas and having a good time. His picks, not so much. So let's see what we can do here.
Listen, I think this is my theory. My theory is Chris comes on, he sandbags everybody with his terrible picks. He gets Cool Bet all the money by sandbagging it. He takes that Cool Bet money, he goes to Vegas and goes on vacation. That's the work here.
Oh, I'll get the Wake and Rake super boosted on Cool Bet, but also my pick is the worst pick of the day.
Scrooge McDuck with his pants full of coins just running all the way to Vegas. Like, just awful.
He has I'd say more about Chris's track record making picks in the Wake and Rake if I wasn't on a killer losing streak myself. I don't really have the high ground to stand on there. So, Pat, we're going to try to shake me out of the slump. We're going to make our picks for the Wake and Rake. But before we get into that, the Raptors are back in action tonight. They are 2.5-point favorites at the Charlotte Hornets. Fred VanVleet is questionable, but he's expected to play per Nick Nurse.
And it's his birthday.
And it's his birthday.
Bing bong.
I was going to set you up for that, Ailish. It's got to be a Fred VanVleet prop night, right?
You know it. If he's in, it's Freddie all the way. Raptors are back. He's an all-star. He's a birthday boy. I can't think of a better narrative.
He's a birthday boy.
He's
a birthday boy. It sounds like you're talking to your dog. Who's a birthday boy?
the Raptors and Hornets have played twice recently. The first was on January 25th. The Raptors beat them pretty handily, and that was without Fred VanVleet. Then they beat them again on February 7th. Again, I think both were 15-point victories. Fred had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. It was a rare night. He only played 37 minutes, so those numbers were way down. There is not a ton of defensive resistance. LaMelo Ball's got some good length, but Terry Rozier is often starting at the other side. The Hornets also don't have Gordon Hayward tonight, which has been pretty consistent. And the Hornets are just kind of in this prolonged skid now where they were getting in the conversation with the Raptors and Hawks of the world and Celtics at that point as like, hey, maybe they'd be plucky in the play-in. They're 1-9 over the last 10. We'll start with you, Pat, before we get to Ailish's Fred VanVleet props. How are you feeling about the Raptors coming out of the break here?
I really like the Raptors. I like them here, but listening to your guys' conversation, I'm super excited just to see how the rest of the season unfolds. And, they get into the playoffs. I think you guys nailed it. Like, the biggest storyline is what can Siakam do in these big moments in the postseason. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to. But in this game, 100%, this one screams for me. Obviously, I'm a sucker for the storyline. So yes. Fred VanVleet birthday game, 100% hitting all those props. You mentioned the defense. This is something where I would even consider sprinkling the over at 225.5. Yeah, I would seriously consider that. I don't love it with the long elongated break from the All Star, but this defense is tough to watch in Charlotte. But this is a game that I think. You got to look at the bet builder for sure. Maybe a Raptors money line and then sprinkle in some Fred VanVleet props for sure.
In terms of the defense, the Hornets, 14 games in a row, giving up at least 100 points, and 12 of those 14 giving up 111 or more.
Yeah. Blake, I know I said you were going to go first, and you know how reluctantly I am with this. But I am making the Raptors my pick tonight.
I was also making the Raptors my pick.
Money line or minus 2.5?
Team bet.
Oh, no. I'll make it 2.5 because I love the Raps in this spot. I think the Hornets suck. I think that they're a bad team. And I also think that the Raptors match up extremely well with them. Like, they don't have the things that take advantage of the Raptors on their roster. I look at this as a really, really good spot for the Raptors to come back, settle in. If they are who I think they are, which is an above-average team, I don't think that that's what the Hornets are. I think the Hornets are a slightly below-average team. And so I don't think that the line should be 2.5. I think it should be closer to, like, 5.5, 6. Sure. Mm-hmm. So I actually am going to play this one on the spread at minus 2.5 and keep this gravy train rolling. So, yeah, I'm making my wake and rake pick. The Raptors minus 2.5.
In terms of Ailish is very upset.
Yeah. Ailish.
This is where, you know what, I wouldn't even hate, like, Pat, you mentioned the bet builder and the straight player props aren't up yet, but this is a spot where we'll see where the player props come out later. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even mind a player prop. Like, had they been up right now, I wouldn't even have minded that
in
the
wake and rake,
which is something we don't do a lot. But, you know, if Fred's over-under is 18.5 points or Pascal Siakam's assist over-under is 4.5, I think this is a big, like, Siakam handles the ball and Fred's off the ball a little bit more. That's how they have approached it in earlier matchups with Charlotte. Miles Bridges is cool defensively, but you just don't have the pieces. Like, and JD, you mentioned they don't do well what the Raptors struggle with. Like, are we afraid of Mason Plumlee as the starting center? Sure, maybe in the bet builder throw that 5+ rebounds in there for Mason Plumlee. If he plays 10 minutes, he probably gets them, but you're not worried about that disrupting what your defense looks like or anything like that.
So before we move on and do everybody else's best bets and Ailish scrambles for a new one, it actually hurts my feelings, Ailish, that I ceded to you in order to tie my record for longest
win. That was a year ago. Get
I
over it.
I ceded to you. I did the ultimate team sport move. Give
well,
you a
should
win.
Be, you should be allowing Blake loss. To go first. As you said, he's in a tough spot, and then you just jump all
Blake,
over
do
your
you,
promise.
Blake, do you want the Raptors as your best bet?
No, I am going to be all over the Raptors in this one, but as a matter of, like, over-investment in principle, I'm never going to put the Raptors in my wake and rake, I don't think.
Okay.
Oh, you see that, Ailish? Maybe I know my teammate better than you do,
and so
this wasn't actually taking his pick. No, it's fine. I'll just keep giving you winners, Ailish. I'll never do anything for myself, and I'll be falsely accused of not being, you know, good enough to Blake, even though I was thinking about him with this entire thing. So, yes, let's get around to our best bets. Let's try to make a wake and rake. Let's try to get a parlay. Pat? You're going to boost this. You're going to boost this, Pat. I hate to break this to you, but you're boosting this. And you're going to go to the wall, and you're going to boost it good, okay? I don't want to hear any Chris Crybaby boosting. I don't know. We lose money if we lose the... That's Chris every time I ask for a boost. I go, Chris, we need a boost for this bet. And he goes, but what if we lose the money for Cool Bet?
But he puts his own bets in on purpose to win the money.
But here's the thing about Chris. Chris isn't allowed to bet on Cool Bet. He doesn't take the money from Cool Bet. He's robbing.
That's why he has to go
books.
To Vegas to lose all his money.
Correct. So yes, that's, he's got to go to Vegas and take that big sack of winnings from
here's
suing
the secret
the Las
about Vegas. Everyone always has the dream of, like, oh, the Vegas movie or whatever, and, like, I'm doing so well that I get comp. You know who gets comp more than big winners? Big losers.
Yeah,
that's who Vegas wants to keep in the casino.
Yeah, 100%. So Pat, let's start with you. What's your best bet tonight, buddy?
So for mine, I like Avalanche, Jets, and I hate doing this, but under 6.5. And I know when you see the Avalanche, you think goals, you think offense. Well, Nate McKinnon's not in the lineup. And sneakily, they've been a bit of an under team as of late. The total's gone under in 10 of their last 15 games, and 7 of their last games against Western Conference opponents have gone under as well. The Jets, they have struggled, especially offensively, especially for some of the talent that they have up front. 4 of their last 6 have gone under, and they've struggled against the Avalanche as of late, and especially on the road. They've lost 7 of their last 8 trips. So, I mean, even if the Avs put up, you know, a 4-spot, a 3-spot, I still only see the Jets scoring 1 goal here. So I'll take the under 6.5.
Yeah, the Jets have only scored 5 goals over their last 3 games, and they've been 2 or under pretty consistently since the middle of January. Like they've had a couple outbursts, but I think only five times since January 18th they've scored three or more. That's a stretch of, you know, 16 games. So
And one of those games was against the Kraken, the expansion team that everyone thought was going to be a wagon, even though they had a team of East Coast Hockey League players on them. But let's hear that.
Who knew Brubauer was the worst goaltender? If you ever needed evidence that we still don't know anything about goalies who aren't Vasilevsky, it's the hype over Brubauer going to the Kraken and then immediately being, for the first two-thirds of the season, being an automatic overplay.
Exactly.
So, okay, I'm gonna take us back to NBA for my pick. Similar logic to Raptors over the Hornets. Ailish, do you want to go first?
No, you
go. I have a backup pick if you want to go first.
No. We're all about getting Blake a win.
Yeah.
But I am nervous.
It's been a tough week. Same logic
here.
Have you won this week? No. I was off for
two weeks,
though.
Go, Blake, go.
Come on, Blake. I believe in you.
I'm going Heat -5.5. They're playing the New York Knicks, who are 2-8 against the spread in their last 10. Derrick Rose is doubtful. Kemba Walker's out for the season. RJ and Nerlens Noel are both questionable. More important than any of that, the Knicks are bad. Bad. Very bad. And the Heat are healthy and good. And, 5.5 is a lot to give up on the road in an NBA game, especially coming out of the break where, you know, there's both teams arrested and stuff. But the Knicks are banged up. They're bad. I don't really care that much about Julius Randle, especially when he's going up against a guy like Bam. I think the Heat are poised here a little bit. Like, knowing Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler and how they operate a little bit, and even Spoelstra, all the chatter in the East being around the teams that added pieces at the deadline, even though the Heat are the best team in the East by record. Oh, well, actually, the Bulls passed them last night, but the Heat are right there and have spent most of the season not healthy. I think the Heat probably care more about the one seed than some of these other teams. I think they're going to come out hot. And again, the Knicks are irredeemably bad.
So I love this pick. I'm already on the Heat just in the money line because it's already it's -217 on Coolbet. And so I threw that into a whole bunch of parlays because I viewed that as kind of like my can't miss bet of the night. So I'm dead if the Heat lose. Ailish, I would like to offer you, I didn't think that would be Blake's pick. I don't want your pick. I'm offering you the Raptors.
No. I don't want it.
We don't switch picks on this show. Can't go back, but I'm
just saying that I didn't want to see
Ailish cry. I appreciate you trying to put on a nice good face that you would want to give.
Wow. Okay. You know what? Brutal. I hope you lose tonight. I'd rather lose and have Ailish be at fault for this now.
I don't want your pick anymore. That's part of our rule.
I appreciate your gesture,
but I want to place a different bet. Okay. I would like to bet the Sixers over the Timberwolves -2.5. Boom, bing bong. Harden's making his debut. It's going to be a beautiful night for him. The narrative is there. I think that regardless, the Sixers are already better than the Timberwolves, and then they're getting Harden. So let's go. -2.5 is it's an easy win.
So this
Wolves
was
also
backup.
Played last night.
Yeah.
This was my backup pick, and the reason that I went Heat this one in the priority list is because the Wolves burned me last night. Misses a big chunk of that game. Mm-hmm. The Timberwolves kind of turn it around and beat the Grizzlies. So that's how I lost last night. They are on the second night of a back-to-back. And D'Angelo Russell played 38 minutes last night. The one factor here is Karl-Anthony Towns and Jared Vanderbilt both had heavy foul trouble all night, so they didn't play big minutes last night. Still, this is like you're asking Karl-Anthony Towns to go up against Joel Embiid on the second night of a back-to-back. You're asking, Patrick Beverley against James Harden. I mentioned Beverley with the bunting thing earlier. Like, that is always one of my favorite matchups where they're former teammates and Harden probably cares 0% about Patrick Beverley guarding him. And this is like Beverley's Super Bowl. I like the narrative here. again, when the player props come up, I'm going to look at James Harden overs. I'll probably look at Joel Embiid assist overs, because I would imagine after the Ben Simmons saga, Joel Embiid's priority one over these last 25 games is get James Harden comfortable and let's figure out the dynamics. So I like that pick, Ailish. Is that what you thought I was going with initially, JD?
I did, and I also like the pick, so I'm a little afraid of it. But here's my justification. I just watched the Minnesota Timberwolves play the second half of back-to-back against the Toronto Raptors. They're not a well-conditioned team. We talked about this with David Thorpe the other day. One of the most impressive things about the Raptors is that they are a well-conditioned group, the best in the NBA. And sometimes when you pay attention to one team, you think they are the norm. So Raptors fans watch the Raptors and they go, back-to-backs aren't that big of a deal. We're playing six guys, and they show up in back-to-backs pretty routinely. They don't look so horrible in back-to-backs routinely. That Timberwolves team against the Raptors, and this is now feeling almost like a curse, but they missed a billion wide-open threes in the first quarter because they didn't have their legs. And when that game finished, if you recall how that game went, the Timberwolves pushed back in the second. They were the more talented team. They were the better team in the third. Karl-Anthony Towns got his. He's having a good game. And then guess what? Boom. Fourth quarter hits. They were depleted. They could not do a damn thing. And Blake, I think that you even have a number for this off the top.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Wolves are one of the worst teams in the league on back-to-back against the spread. They're 3-6 against the spread with an average miss of 2 points and a minus 4.2 net rating on the second night of back-to-back. So not
this
the worst.
This is the most confident I've felt in our wake and rake in a long time, boys.
Yeah, but I felt confident last night too. And then
that's okay. Yeah.
Especially
new day.
Like,
Friday.
With your pick, Ailish, like, DeMar comes out and scores 16 points in the first 8 minutes of the game. And I'm like, okay, well, this is good. And then
it ends
up being a push.
Yeah,
it ended up being a push. Mm-hmm.
But I did I did get the line when I know I said it was 4 on the air. By the time I bet it at night, it was at 3, but that's okay. I said it was 4. It's a push.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Listen, I walked away to a victory, and it was easy money. It was over at halftime. It was just what it is.
Yes.
So I can't relate to you guys.
Look, I felt like the Celtics one was a team win because that was one this show started at 6 a.m. and at 5:59, mm-hmm. I already had Celtics -7 in your column in the spreadsheet. Like, that was the most, that was the clearest. JD is definitely picking this, and it's easy to see why game there is. So as a quick review, 76ers -2.5, Toronto Raptors -2.5, Miami Heat -5.5, and the Colorado Avalanche and Winnipeg Jets -6.5. Pat, before we let you go, anything else this weekend that you're looking forward to or that stands out to you as, you know, easy money? And please, again, don't do the Cool Bet Chris thing and give us some National Lacrosse League
we need
over
a win.
That has no chance of hitting.
No, but actually, I care what Pat thinks because he knows things about lacrosse. So when he gives us lacrosse picks, I actually trust them. I'm actually more aggravated that in our group chat, Pat doesn't give more lacrosse picks. It actually is. It's been something I've been meaning to say to you for a while now. Is I'm offended by your lack of lacrosse input in the group chat, and I want to know why. Why you're costing me money every day by not sharing those picks with me?
I will be honest. When I'm giving out my picks right now, my column, it's been on fire. So shame on me for not giving you more lacrosse picks. With that being said. I absolutely hate the board this week. Let me do a little more of a deep dive. I'll send you a text about what I like. But it wouldn't be an appearance from Pat Gregoire on the morning show without giving a very average golf pick. So here is my golf pick.
Yes,
Brooks Koepka over Joakim Niemann. And everyone is high on Niemann because he just came off a big win. Brooks Koepka owns the Florida swing. 6 most birdies since 2016 per round. And Niemann kind of looked a little bit shaky yesterday. So give me Brooks. I'll take him over Niemann.
This is great. I was going to ask Brooks Koepka or whatever his name is. What do you think about him?
There you go.
I got to sharpen up my golf stuff. That guy who was feeding us some picks didn't come through. There you go. Brooks Koepka.
We all have our things that we struggle with on a weekly basis that we want to bet well. Pat's is golf, you know, like Pat's is the one where if I'm Pat's bookie, I'm like, oh, you want to bet more golf, buddy? Cool. Like, welcome back. Like, you know, definitely don't put your money in on lacrosse, but put it on the golf picks. Like, let's ride here. We all have it. We all absolutely have it. Okay. So before you go,
I'll hit the one future, future out of like five tournaments, and then I think I'm just the absolute biggest sharp when it comes to
golf. That's absolutely it. I love it. I love it so much. I need a favor. I need you to get the Cool Bet people to put up the heart futures. I need for us to be able to put up some awards, because I think that it's worthwhile putting a sprinkle on Austin Matthews while he's in the position he's in right now, which is not the favorite to win the heart. I think the next month he's going to go on a tear against bad teams, and then the final month he's going to have an opportunity to win, and he's going to be basically even odds or somewhere around there when we get to it. So I think that I would like to be able to place a bet on Cool Bet of Austin Matthews to win the Hart Trophy. We got to get that going.
I'm sure we can make that work for sure. As you know, the Leafs are a super public team, so Cool Bet's always down for that for sure.
Yeah, Cool Bet's always down for the Leafs. Leafs still plus 800 to win the Stanley Cup. They're tied with Tampa Bay. So if you want to know how public they are, that's how public they are, that they're tied with the Tampa Bay Lightning, the back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, the team that has not gotten to the first round. Pat Gregoire, always a pleasure, always great. Thank you for the picks. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it rolling. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Let's have a weekend.
See you, brother. Pat Gregoire of Cool Bet. You can follow him at P. Greggy. Always a fan. Great guy. Does pick a lot of winners. Just going to say, Patty's one of the guys in the group chat that has good picks. Right? So we're riding it today. I will get that boosted. I will get that thrown up on Cool Bet. Nice. Usually it'll happen within the hour. And if Pat doesn't remember, I'll hammer him over it. But yeah, Chris, away. Maybe we can win. Maybe
we all
maybe.
Win basketball, but there's not a lot of good hockey wins.
Well, Pat
tonight.
Went under in the hockey.
Yes. Other than, like, I mean, in terms of like just straight up money line, like 350, 320,
heavy
280, 270. It's going to be a hard
have
one
a
to
Blues,
bet.
I do have a Blues Golden Knights regulation parlay.
I could see that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think that that's the only one that I have tonight.
What
I don't,
about your
I don't,
who's a net for the Blues? Not your little slippery salamander Binnington,
Yeah, it's just that those two on the regulation, and I know, again, we've done the stat with Blake, has proven that it's not as good, but I think there's something about horrific teams, and the Blues are so good at home, and I just think that Vegas and Arizona, it plays plus 160 for those two teams to both win in regulation as both heavy favorites. It's just not a bad.
What if you add
parlay bet for me?
Would you feel confident in the Avs over the Jets too?
No. For the reason that Pat. Well, yeah, Pat just outlined why you wouldn't bet that. He thinks it's going to be low scoring, and low scoring usually means
to win
1-0,
2-0.
Yep, but also no McKinnon. I just don't. I don't trust him as much.
He was out.
I think that the Avs are. Now the number one public team in terms of people look at them and go, oh, they're going to win. And so they're really a hard team to bet. I still look for the teams that don't get a lot of action. Like St. Louis at home, for example, this year is one of the best teams in the NHL. And so when I see them and I can get their win over a horrific team at home at a lower number than minus 200, I'm going to grab
that's
that.
Good.
Like, that's just going to be the case. So, yeah, Binnington has screwed me a couple of times this year, but I believe overall in the Blues, like, they have been a very good team to me. So, yeah. Same thing with, tonight. The Ducks are plus 109 against the Kings. Don't really understand that one. Going to play that little sprinkle. So there's some hockey I like tonight.
There you go.
I'm all in on the Ducks.
To be clear on the regulation thing, it's so that's that, and this isn't updated for this week, but as of last week, favorites of minus 200 or greater – we're winning in regulation 58.7% of the time.
I shied away from it a bit because of that.
Yeah. So basically, and again, this isn't controlling for quality of opponent or, you know, the difference between a minus 250 and a minus 300. But broadly, you want about a minus 140 to minus 150 in terms of value for that regulation win. And JD, you parlayed two that were, I think, minus 180 and minus 200 in regulation. So yeah, you can parlay your way there for sure. It just, on average, there's not quite the edge going regulation that you might think for the heavier favorites. But again, you pick out the individual ones that spice you up.
Cool. So yeah, let's take a break. Those are our Wake and Rake picks for the day. Lots of picks that we threw out this afternoon. And yes, stay tuned if you want to bet on Cool Bet. We will have it boosted. It will only be available on Cool Bet. And if you want a promo, Reach out in the DMs, follow on Instagram or Twitter. Reach out, hit me up anytime. You got to be in Canada to play, unfortunately. I've had a lot of people in the U.S. that listen to the show. Shocking amount of people in the U.S. that listen to the show and reach out via the podcast. So
we're the number one Jacksonville Jaguars and Memphis Grizzlies show in all of sports media.